makes him struggle for air sometimes, but I do love to hear him sing the glory of God, don't you? May the Lord richly bless him. Let's give him a hand. Yeah. I'll never forget what he said when you remember, a lot of you remember what he said the day I baptized him. He said, now we're double brothers. Boy, that's sweet to me. I never forgot it. You know what? I'm so glad. Have brothers and sisters in Christ, and then when you have your own brothers and sisters in Christ too, that's double. Double. Thank God for all you that are in Christ. You're my brothers and sisters too. We brothers and sisters one another. We're part of the family of God. And I appreciate being in the family of God. Hallelujah. Got your Bibles, turn them to the little book of Ruth. Now, you may not be like me. Sometimes I have a problem finding some of these little books, but if you go back to Kings and back up from Kings to Samuel and back up, you'll find it easy. That's where I had a hunt. You may not have to, but that's where I find some of these small books in the Old Testament. There's four chapters in this book. It's been a while since I looked into it. I know I preached out of it before, but it's been in my heart this week. May the Lord bless the reading of the Word. I'm going to read a good portion of chapter number 1 and probably just a few verses in chapter number 2. But I tell you, if you hadn't read it lately, it's only four chapters in this book. And if you hadn't read it lately, it'd be good to go home today sometime and read the whole four chapters. I'm still glad God's got grace, aren't you? You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, grace, wasn't no grace in the Old Testament. What are you talking about? Huh? They were. You'll find it right in this chapter. God's got a picture of it. Boaz being the type of our blessed Redeemer, how he set his eyes upon Ruth. On her. If I had some of my like to say about this, I'd say this is about the redemption of a pagan. Now, what if you realize Ruth was a Moabite? But you know what? And the law was really against him, wasn't it? You know it was. Yeah, they couldn't even get in the congregation, could they? But you know what God's grace will do? Thank God there's a time we couldn't get in it either. This is a perfect picture of how God deals even with the Gentiles. It's the old dogs. Like us, he saved. It's amazing, isn't it? What God will do. Begin reading in chapter 1, verse number 1 of book of Ruth. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He, his wife, and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem of Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Manoah and Chilion died also. Both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons. And her husband. Then she arose and her daughters and saw that she might return to the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread. What a visitation from God. Whereof she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters. In law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord dealt kindly with you, and ye have dealt with the dead. The Lord dealt kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. She was saying to him, y'all was kind to me, kind to those that had passed away. And said, the Lord dealt kindly with you. The Lord grants you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed him, and they lifted their voice and wept. They said unto her, surely we return with thee unto thy people. And the woman said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lift up their voice and wept again. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her mother. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or return from following after you. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people should be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And thee will I be, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfast, minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I want to start reading a little bit in chapter 2. And Naomi and a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. And the family of Ishmael. And the name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight, I like what she said, I shall find what? Grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field at the reapers, and her help was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto her, unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. They answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto the servants, what was said over that was said over the reapers? He said, whose damsel is this? I imagine him saying, whoo, look at that. Look at her. He said, whose damsel is this? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. He said, I pray you, let her glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and continued even for the morning to night unto now, that she tarried a little in the house. And then Boaz said to Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch it? And when thy heart arises, go unto the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I like this verse here. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Well, I read that, and my heart just got broke. I said, you think about that. I said, why you take knowledge of me? You know, I got to think about, well, I thought about this. I thought, well, she might go look in the mirror, and that might be why she might be pretty. From all I hear, was a pretty lady. She might have went and looked in the mirror. She could say, well, maybe he is looking at me. This is why I'm finding grace. And I got the thing, but we can't do that. We go look in the mirror. We can say, oh, Lord God, what in the world would you want with me? You know? You think about it. Why in the world And that's what she was saying. She said to him, "You take knowledge of me, I'm a stranger, and you showing me grace. We was once all strangers to the things of God." And God, in his mercy and his grace, and you know what? We in the same boat that she was. He said unto him, "It's fully been showed me." It says, "Thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law in the death of thy husband, and hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of nativity, and have come unto a people which thou knowest not henceforth. Herefore, the Lord repents thee thy working. A full reward be given unto," it said, "be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids." She said, "I'm different. I'm a stranger. I'm from a foreign country." And she was a Moabite, and she was one that was supposed to be shut out, but he was still showing. He was a redeemer. Thank God. And Boaz said unto her, look at verse 14, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat the bread, and dip the morsel of vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached the parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, listen to what Boaz said to his young men, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Don't you reproach her. Don't you rebuke her. And said, let her get right up by where, listen to this, get right up by where y'all gathering them. And said, just said, if some falls, don't even pick it up. And said, on top of that, said, "Hey, tell you what I want you to do. I want you to let some fall on purpose." If you know that God will let things come our way on purpose. On purpose. I think I've shared this before. I'll never forget. It's go back a long time. We didn't wait till we got grown to start picking cotton. Leroy can tell you that. I remember our first cotton sack was a flour sack. That's how little it was. You know where we started learning picking? Right out there side of Mama. And we'd pick what we could. You know what? I've never forgotten. Once in a while, she'd reach over Brother Larry and she'd stick a handful of cotton in that sack. You know why? We went way up. She wanted to have some in there. And we weren't getting much. You couldn't take a row. You had to pick on a row with her. That's before I ever started school. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. But you know, I never forgot. And first time I ever read that in that verse, I thought about that. She was doing that on purpose. Had a reason for it. And I'm telling you something, when God does something for you, he got a purpose behind it. He got a real purpose behind it. He got a purpose for your life. He got a purpose for my life. He sure has. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless this reading of the word this morning. You've been so good to us. You blessed us so abundantly, and God, we ever praise you for it. We ask your blessings on the word this morning. Speak to us and through us. You know that our Father exactly what we need, and I pray you'd send her forth this morning, that the divine unction, that heaven anointing, rest upon your service and upon each word that's spoken. And God, let it sink into our hearts, that we may receive it by faith and apply it to our lives, that we may walk in it and thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You ever wondered some of the verses? There's one particular one verse in there that I've been using at weddings for 40-something years. And you know, that one verse is, "Entreat me not to leave you." And you see how determined that Ruth, now she talked to them and going back. You see a lot of times, someone say, "Well, why was she trying to talk them to go with her?" She had to know that they were sincere. And if that could be, and that's the way it is when we come start living for God, headed toward the Lord. If you let little old things send you backwards, then you got trouble on down the road. But she had her mind made. Orpha didn't have her mind made up like that. She wasn't that steadfast. She wasn't determined. But I want to tell you something about Ruth. She was determined. And you know what? She said something in verse number 16. She said, "Don't try to get me to leave you. Entreat me not to leave you. Or don't or return from following you." She didn't want to leave. She didn't want to return. Thank God for that grace. Listen, even then, to not want to turn back. She wanted to get out. She was getting out of that heathenism. But you know why? The reason I know, because he said, "You done learned to trust in the wings of God, in whom thy trust." Hallelujah. And she said, "I will not turn from this." She said, "For where you go, I'm going to go." She said, "I am going to go where you going. So you can just hush, trying to get me to go backwards." She said, "I'm going to go with you." That's what she was saying. That's what she was saying to her, to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And then she said something else. He said, "Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. So I'm going to stay right with you. You're going to camp. You're going to spend the night. You're going to go. Where you're going to live, I'm going to live with you. I'm going. Hallelujah. Not going to shake me loose." And she goes on down and said, "Thy people shall be my people." So I'm getting back. I'm leaving my other people back yonder, and your people's going to be my people. And you know what? That's what happens to us. That's our determination. Listen, who is our people? God's people. That one that fears a living and a true God. There's a one. She said, that's who it's going to be. That's going to be my people. Your people's going to be my people. Then he goes on down and says, then something else. Thy God is going to be my God. And that's the main thing that all of this she was saying. She said, "I want to tell you something. Listen, all them other gods ain't nothing to, but I'm going to tell you something. Your God is going to be my God." Termination. Exactly. She said, "Your God is going to be my God." She said, "I'll even die with you. Where you die, I'll die." She was willing to go. Now, I want you to notice a few things in this chapter. We got time to cover the whole chapter, but a few things I'd like to share with you about. The fact is, how was Ruth sought out? Now you think about it. How in the world did God search her out? And what did he use to find her and bring her where he wanted her? You know, I got thinking about, if there hadn't ever been a famine. Let me just talk a little this morning. Hadn't there been a famine? You reckon they probably wouldn't have left the land went over, would they? I always wondered why their husband had to die and why these two had to die. You don't ever ponder about things like this, but the Bible don't tell it. I always thought about what in the world, what would have happened if her two sons hadn't have died and her husband hadn't have died. If all this hadn't happened, all this come. So the first thing was a famine that brought them over there and carried them. They left and went over there to that other country. And the next thing happened, her son married the Moabites. I'm going to tell you something. God uses different ways, different things. And they married Ruth. She was a Moabite. They died over there, but she got out there. You see God working? God was bringing her. You say, "Well, why in the world did God do that for Ruth?" It's just amazing grace, all I can tell you. Why did he save you? Why did he save me? Amazing grace. Not only was he seeking them through the family, but he was also seeking them, listen, through the funeral. They had funeral. Verse number is that one of those verses said their husband died. A couple of verses later says her son died. You'd be amazed how many times that God may be dealing with somebody. Listen, through their families, through funerals, through every different way. And they were dealing with them and drawing them. And listen, that's how Ruth finally got out of that place. And God had grace and mercy upon her. Amen. Grace and mercy upon her. You know what? I got to look at these chapters. And chapter 1 tells us that you don't see anything about it as far as Ruth knowing that Boaz, where he is or as he is. But if you go to chapter 2, you'll see her in the field, his field. In his field. In the right place, and the redeemed one that was going to redeem her. You see, and you know, this is a perfect picture of you saw in this particular time in the Word of God tells us that redemption, listen, they had their land. If land got sold and you was, listen, couldn't afford to keep it, it got sold or whatever happened to it. Listen, before the Jubilee year comes, and a person close as redemption, kin, could redeem it. Sort of similar if you pay somebody, I guess you pay somebody's taxes now. You know, if they don't pay the taxes, you can pay them a while, but it's not yours for a good little while. Somebody can come back. Still, in a sense, redeem it, come back and pay the taxes, and it still will be theirs. You can pay them. If you don't, find that so long. If you don't, it'll be yours. But what I'm saying is they, oh Lord, something in it. Boaz was kin to him. But it was somebody else closer kin than he was. He called elders, got a bunch of them together, and he said, hey, you want y'all to be a witness? He called his husband and said, do you want to redeem him? Do you want to redeem him? He said, no. You know why? One reason he said he didn't. He might jeopardize his property because he didn't have enough. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, but this gentleman here, Boaz, you know what he was? He was wealthy. He was rich. He had plenty. And I'm telling you, he's locked like our Lord. Rich, plenty. Got plenty of redemption for everybody. And he, listen, by the grace of God, he redeemed her. And in fact, he told the other guy, said, if you're going to redeem her, said, you got to redeem what Naomi and Imlich had. You got to redeem, listen, also this other. You got to redeem her sons, their part. You got to redeem that. And on, he began to tell them. But I want to tell you something. The other guy said, no, I can't do it. And Boaz said, I'll take care of it. And Boaz did. He sure did. Boaz took care of it. So chapter 2, you see him laying at his feet. Chapter 3, you see him. Chapter 2, you see him in the field. Chapter 3, you see him at his feet. And then when you get over in chapter 4, you find out she's already in the family. He married her. She became his wife. But you know what? Isn't it amazing what God did? It's really amazing what the Lord did through this. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to thank God for what he does. First of all, I mentioned it a while ago, chapter 2. Verse number 2, she said, I shall find grace. Now, I want to tell you something. That's the way salvation comes. That's the way our redemption comes, by grace. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Listen, Ruth wasn't redeemed, and she didn't get the position where she went. because she of her. She got it because of grace. And that's why we have it. The grace of God. Grace of God. So it's grace. But I like what he said in verse number 10. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto me, why have I found grace in thine eyes that I should take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? You're a stranger? He loves to take them in. He took her in. You know what? He's still taking in, inviting, redeeming by his precious blood. You know, thank God. You know what he told her? Verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work. Full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I'm going to tell you something. God's got a reward. Full reward will be given. Not only to her, but it'll be also given to us. We have a reward. Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. But I like what else he said. Not for me only. But all those that what? Look for him. There's a crown waiting. There's a reward waiting. So I want to encourage you. Keep on. Hey, let's be like Ruth. Treat me not to leave ye. I return from following ye. Let's be willing to go. Follow God wherever he leads us. And I can assure you, there'll be a reward given to you. Look what she told him in verse 13. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. First thing he said, thou hast comforted me. Hey, you ever find comfort from your Redeemer? He's got plenty of it. He comforts us. And she said, you've comforted me. And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'd be amazed what kindness and friendliness will do. She said, I want to tell you something. You spoke kind to me. You've been kind to me. You've been friendly to me. I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you what this lost world is dying for. Somebody to love them. Somebody to be kind to them. Somebody to be friend with them. Friendly. You know, that's what they accuse Jesus of. I think he accused him, say he's friends with sinners. And them old, they didn't like because he had anything to do with the Pharisees. Or the publicans, I mean. The Pharisees didn't like it. But he was friendly. And you know what I find? What this lost world's dying for? They're dying for compassion, for love. Not only that, but the saints of God are too. We need to love them too. And she said, he said, she told him, said, you've comforted me. Thou spoke friendly unto thine handmaiden. And you know what? She said, I want to tell you something. She said, I'm not like the other handmaidens. But said, what? You're still kind to me too. She's a different race. Different country, different person, come from foreign, was in a new land she didn't know about. But she came. You know why? She was going to follow Naomi's God. And you know what that told me? She had to have seen God in her to know anything about. Your God will be my God. My question, again, before we close this morning, is people seeing God in us. Or they can say, I want to follow you. I want to follow you are where you going. And I want your God to be my God. We need to set that kind of example as believers in the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, he spoke friendly to her, was kind to her, comforted her, although she wasn't like one of the other ones. You know, sometimes we don't watch it. Somebody not just like us, we'll say, oh, I'll write them off. God made them. They may be different. May not be like we are. May not talk like we do. May not look like we do. But I'm telling you, in God's kindness, hallelujah. And she said, I'm so thankful for it. She was. You know what? He told her, said, mealtime, you just go on there and sit down and eat. Take a little of that vinegar and sit beside the reapers. Get that corn, parched corn, eat, be satisfied. And said, when you get up, go glean. He said, you don't even have to go back out where it's scarce. See, that was a law then. In that day and hour, the farmers couldn't gather all. They couldn't go back and get the what was left when they got through gathering. They had to leave some in the corners for the poor, for the widows, and for the orphans. They had to leave it. But you know what? He told her, said, you don't even have to stay back with them. Said, you can just get right up back where they're gathering it. And said, you can just stay right up there with them. I thought when I was reading this again, I thought myself, some of our machinery now that we gather with don't have to have a law. They can just come together all they want together. But you know what? I think this was teaching them also. They didn't go and get it for them. They was able to go. They had to go and get it themselves. Think we'd have any? Gleaners gleaning? If they had to go get it themselves now, you know what I've thought a lot of times? If they go behind the cotton pickers now, if anybody wanted to get them a cotton sack and go behind the cotton pickers, they had somewhere to sell them if they could. They could get some gleanings. Because there's a lot still left out there. Of course, they gathered it a lot different then. But they still had to leave some for those I just mentioned. And they must leave it. He told her just to stay up there. He also said, don't y'all reproach her. Don't y'all rebuke her. Let her alone. Boy, she found favor. And you know what? I believe I hear God saying that to us this morning. Let's let them get up close. Come on. You know what the church is for? You know what God's got it for? He's got it to help people. It's a hospital. Those are the sick. I'm not talking about physically, but although he's able to take care of that too. But for those that are sick spiritually. That's what the church is for. You know what I say to them? Come, come. 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 I tell people all the time, come. Sometimes people say, I don't have clothes to come in. I say, you got anything to cover up yourself? Come on. If you don't have what, you come. Sometimes people ask me, do y'all wear suits? I said, no. No. I said, I try to wear one, but I can't keep it all on. Take some of it off. But you know what? Come. That's what my invitation is, and God's invitation, come. Come to God's house. You know what? Come on and reap a harvest. Glean from the Word of God. I tell you what, we'll try to do enough to make it give you appetite anyhow. Through the singing of the songs, through the worship and the praise, through the reading of the Scripture, through the proclaiming of the Word, we'll try to give you enough appetite to give you a hunger for the Word of God. So he told Ruth, he said, just go. He said, just get out my clothes. And said, I'm going to get him to leave you something. He told him, said, you better leave her some on purpose. Now, I want to tell you something. If you'll make your mind, and I'll make my mind up, and I want to leave this week before we close this morning, that we're going to go with God. Go with Naomi's God, like she said. If we'll make our mind up, God, I'm going with you. I'll tell you what God will do. He'll give you some handfuls on purpose. He'll do it. He won't fail. God will give you some handfuls on purpose. As sure as I'm talking to you this morning. You say, well, I can't get much out of the Word of God. Get in it. Search it. Study it. Look in it. And watch God open it up. They had to get in the fields to glean. They couldn't do it at the house. They had to go. And you know what you're going to have to do? You say, well, I don't know much about the Bible. Get in it. I don't know a lot about it either, but I'm still digging in it. I'm still searching. I'm still looking. And hadn't scratched the surface. There's so much in there. But I tell you what God will do. He'll on purpose. I like this verse, don't you? We know that all things, Romans 8:28, I think, we know that all things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to His what? Purpose. You see, God got Ruth on purpose. And He left her some gleanings on purpose. And God saved you on purpose. It wasn't no accident. He saved you on purpose. He intended to save you. And we were singing that song, A New Name Written Glory. I said, it is there. But you know, it's been there a long time. You said, how long has it been there? What did you say, Brother Donnie? Before the foundation of the world. That's a pretty good while. That's before you and I got here. Now that boggles your mind, don't it? You say, well, how'd you get his name down there before I got saved? You think God didn't know he's going to save me? Mine's been there since before the foundation of the world. Yours has too, if you're saved. And you know what? Yours may be there and you're fixing to come in. I'm going to tell you something. God's got a purpose, and He got a purpose, and He fulfills that purpose. You know what? This whole picture of this morning, I don't want to fail to tell you this. It shows the sovereignty and the grace of our loving Lord, brother. Sovereign God and grace of our loving Lord. Found grace. That's what He was doing. What do? We found grace. God's got a purpose. And I want to encourage you too. I want to encourage the young people here, any children here, that God's got a purpose for you in this world. That God's got a purpose, and He will have it. That's the reason some of us are still here. He's got a purpose in this world, in this life. And don't think that you just happen to come along. No. God knows every hair, the number on your head. He said that, didn't He? He knows every aspect about your life and mine. And He's got a purpose for you. Don't ever forget it. And you know what that'll do to you? Give you a whole aspect, a whole different outlook on life. If you realize, I'm an individual. And God looks at you just like you're the only one on this earth. And He can do everybody the same way at the same time. Now you say, that blows my mind. Let her blow. Blows mine too. But that's God. Somebody said, how can God be everywhere at one time? God's the Spirit. Ain't that right, Brother Dunn? Yeah. He can be over at your house and he can be over at mine. He can go you down the road. He's everywhere. So I'm saying God's got a purpose. And he'll leave. He'll reveal that purpose to you. And he'll do things on purpose. Just like he did her. Left them out. He said, just like there. That sovereign grace of God left those handfuls on purpose for her, redeemed her, and brought her back. And God granted her that faith to believe. Thank God for it. Do you have that grace? In faith. Thank God for it. Would you stand with me?